So, 1440. You guys are pumped, huh? How many just love that worship? That was awesome, man. I could sit in that worship all day. I just love it. You guys have an amazing worship team. Well, listen, I am from Colorado, and I'm a geek, and apparently I'm talking about. We share a kindred soul here. We love each other. Come on, you guys know what I'm talking about. Oh, everybody wants one now. Anyway, so, hey, listen, we got called. I just want to appreciate EMIC 1440, all the staff, all the leadership of this church that give us an opportunity to come and just bless you guys and encourage you in whatever way that we can tonight. And it's a privilege to be here, and I'm honored, I'm humbled. So enough of that. We got off the plane today, and it's interesting. You know, my wife, we've never been to this part of Dallas or Fort Worth, and you know, when she gets off the plane, the first thing she wants to do, what? Shop. Hey, never been here, don't know where we're going, there happens to be all this construction on whatever road that was. I don't even know how I got here today, okay? And so the first thing she wants to do, she's like, I gotta go get another pair of jeans. I'm like, honey, about 3 days ago, we were at a perfectly good place for you to get jeans. Yeah, I got those, and here's the problem. I know now that those are going to shrink, and I'm going to have to take those back. And so then the next day, I wanted to go get some, but I couldn't because I had to watch my son Noah. So the first thing we had to do when we got off the plane is spend my money. Now listen, for you that are single, enjoy your money. Okay? Yeah. Enjoy your money. Put it in a piggy bank, okay? Hide it somewhere. You know, actually, you need to put that thing in a safe somewhere. And you're going to remember that. And it needs to be stashed now because somehow they find a way of stealing. Anyway. The other thing that's happening right now is I have my brand new son. He's almost 6 months old. And so, yeah, I know. He's so cute. He's so adorable. He is the cutest kid ever. I have said that before. And you need to know this, okay? When I went to the pediatrician with my son, the pediatrician couldn't stop laughing. I felt bad at first because I'm like, has my kid got something wrong with him? That you're going to laugh at my kid like that? I mean, seriously. And so he's, but he's just sitting there and he's just giving her the googly eyes. He's just smiling. And he kicks his little legs, you know. He does a little dance like this. And he smiles. And then, no joke, it's about 5, 6, 7 minutes of this pediatrician just laughing at my son. And I'm like, you know, I got places to be. I mean, I know he's cute now. Do I need to put a bag over him and put him to the side so we can get done with this, right? So anyway, so that's a little bit about me. You guys know about me a little bit. I am so, like I said, I'm stoked to be here tonight. I got what I hope is a powerful word for you. Now listen, before we get started here, I'm going to pray. But before we get started, I just want you to know I'm a participation preacher, okay? Now what that means, sometimes I will ask questions. Tonight, I don't know if we'll get to all that, but when I say true that, I really mean amen. Now, you know how preachers in the South, they're like, amen, right? Anybody say amen? Amen. You guys amen? Okay. So I don't say amen. I say true that, okay? So I say true that, and then you say?
True that.
Okay, now louder. True that?
True that.
True that?
True that.
Okay, see, now you're picking up where I'm going, okay? Because, listen, preachers have a tough job, okay? We are like double your age, and somehow we have to administer a true word from God to you, and we don't know half the time whether or not, we don't know sometimes whether or not you're getting it. So when you say true that, I know you're picking up what I'm putting down, okay? All right, there we go. I like it. All right, so tonight I want to talk to you guys. You guys are an amazing bunch, man. So now you're going to do it all night, okay. So I am now my own demise. Okay, I got you. All right. We're going to talk tonight about knowing. Okay? Knowing. Anybody got a knower? You got a knower? A brain? Okay. A brain? Internet? Sadly, for this generation, I personally believe that has become like the other half or third of their brain. The internet.
Exactly.
You know, but the thing is, if you try to use the internet for all of your schoolwork, online. Teachers are smart now, okay? They have websites for these things, okay? They can take your entire forged document that you try to submit as your own, and they can pass it through this website and figure out where you stole that information, okay? So we want original content, okay? Yeah, somebody's like, really? Man, I'm worried now, right? No, when I talk about knowing, we want to talk about a biblical knowing, okay? Kind of build on apparently what has been already shared in here the last couple of weeks. A biblical knowing of who you are, based upon whose you are, whose, who do you belong to, and then also what you were made for. Those happen to be some of the most core questions to life that every single youth that I've ever, ever interacted with is all asking. Who am I? Why am I here? What am I going to do? And see, you're in this church tonight, youth. 1440, every minute of every day, right? You're true that. You can also say when I say right, you can, yeah. You're picking it up. You're picking it up. Every minute of every day, you're here because you believe in something. We all have the common thread of belief. But some of us know a little bit more than others. And see, knowledge is there. It stands right in front of you, begging for you to discover it. As a matter of fact, as the scripture in the Old Testament says, that God's people perish for a lack of knowledge. A lack of knowledge. Which means it's kind of like God could be wanting to save your day. God could want to come to your rescue, right? He could totally step in and be the hero if you only knew that he could. All the power in the world is in his hands. The Bible says he's all-knowing, all-powerful, and everywhere. But if we don't believe that he is, then we will come very short to actually relying upon that. Listen, God created the stars. The Bible says he breathed out the stars. How many know what is it? Canis Majoris? It's a star. It's the largest star. The name of it's the Big Dog Star, right? And our sun is a million times bigger, roughly, than our Earth. See, I'm you guys are nerds, right? Okay, you all like this. Okay, it's roughly a million times bigger than our Earth. But this Canis Majoris, okay, this star, the Big Dog Star, this thing is like, dude. It's mind-boggling. It's thousands of times bigger than our sun. You can see it in the night sky. And God made it. Have you ever heard the old adage, can God make a star bigger than he can God make a rock bigger than he can move? No. I don't know. I mean, all things are possible, but God created that star, I think, just so he could say, I'm big. I'm huge. Do you know it? The Bible says all creation calls out that there is a God. But see, what I have found that is if you don't know that there is more of God, you will never encounter more of God. You'll never encounter it. God can be all around you. He can be so amazing. The greatest breakthrough of your life, young people, can be standing right in front of you. It's right there. But if you don't know, you'll never step into it. So I want to open your eyes, hopefully, tonight to a couple of things. See, knowing is not just a head knowledge, a mental assent, like you open up a science book and, you know, you memorize, you know. That's not knowing. Knowing is, in the scriptural sense, is to be intimately acquainted with, to completely have wrapped yourself around something. As a matter of fact, he goes even deeper. To know in a scriptural sense is to have an understanding that is based upon experience. How many of you experience God? How many experience him? When's the last time you've been rocked by the Rock of Ages? Rock of Ages being Jesus Christ. You're like, what? Am I a geology class? You've been messed up by God in a good way. You've experienced it. And so that experience has changed you, young people. Because now you know that God is real beyond a shadow of a doubt. You know, when I was your age, when I was a young person, I would get, I went to a powerful church, very similar to this church. Very similar to this church. And when I walked through the doors of my youth group, man, I was like, woo, what is God going to do tonight? It got me so pumped every day I walked through those doors. And you know what happened? As I would come to these altars and I would get just messed up, shaken by God, I'd get filled with the Holy Spirit. I started seeing people get healed in our youth services. Guess what? God doesn't like to stay inside four walls. So what I would do is I would get so jacked on Jesus, man. I'd be so pumped up with God. Couldn't stop, you know, Wednesday night like tonight. I'd get filled with the Holy Spirit. I'd be shaking in the morning. I woke up under the glory of God. And I walk into my school, and I'd have, you know, I was just a Jesus freak from way back, okay? I was a lot of zeal, little wisdom, okay? Little wisdom, but I had a lot of zeal, okay? I wasn't the smartest newbie Christian, okay? But I was passionate. And so, man, I used to pack as many kids into my car as I possibly could because of one thing. How many drive here, by the way? How many packed out your car for Jesus? You shoved in as many kids as you possibly could and transported them out here. Yeah, I like it, okay? I used to pack that thing out. And listen, I'll describe my car in full detail for tonight, okay? You'll know how anointed that car was. Okay. But it's because I knew how powerful God was. And there was such an anointing in our services and youth because all the youth, man, when we worshiped together. It wasn't like this person over here is getting touched. We were all getting blown up by God. We were all getting touched by God. Listen, you see somebody else getting something from God, you can get the same thing. But sometimes you don't know what that person is giving up so they can get more from God. They're letting go of some things so they can hold on to some new things, okay? All right, so first off here, on knowing, I want to talk about the blood of Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ. Young people, do you know what it costs Jesus to purchase you? Took his life. True that?
True.
Took his life. See, there's two things that you really need to know about Jesus hanging on a cross. It was the only way. It was the only way. There can never be another Jesus coming to die on a cross. The Bible says that. He can't like, okay, I'm going to go die again. That was rewind. You can't turn back time and Jesus jump on the cross again and be like, woo! He doesn't need to do it again. He did it once. About that cross, do you see what Jesus did on the cross and what sin has done? A perfect man, the God-man, never sinned, never did any wrong, only did absolute perfection. The Bible says he was the Word of God and he was manifest in front of our eyes. Well, the disciples' eyes. And then he went to a cross and died for you. Nails. The Bible says nails in his hands, in his feet, a crown of thorns on his head. He was speared in his side. His beard was plucked out. He was whipped, the Bible says, until he was unrecognizable by those that should have recognized him. That's what sin does. That's what sin does. But it speaks something else. It speaks something else. It speaks how passionately in love God is with you. Now that is either head knowledge today or it is transforming your everyday life. See, that was the difference between me having just a mental experience with God. See, before I met Jesus Christ, I was addicted to drugs. Before I met Jesus Christ, I was just another kid in school, partying, drinking, smoking, going out with girls that I probably shouldn't have had any business with, like a lot of your friends, hopefully not like any of you. Just living the daily life. And when I met Jesus Christ for the first time, he showed me something different. See, the difference between me before Christ and me after Christ is just knowledge. But I had an intimate encounter with this knowledge of Jesus. As a matter of fact, when I accepted Jesus Christ, it's like he opened up the door to my little bedroom in Spring Hill, Florida, sat down on my bed, placed his hands on my shoulders like that. And as soon as I felt the presence of God, it is as if every chain, every hurt, every depression, every fear, and every addiction was broken off my life. I wonder if anyone here tonight, even though you're sitting here and you know the truth, still has a weight that needs to be broken by Jesus Christ. Anyone? Anyone? See, I serve the God who breaks all chains. True that? I serve the God who breaks all chains. True that?
True that.
See, God can break down any barrier that stands in his way. And you can have more of God if you want it. If you want it. Jesus' blood was the price to know. John 17:3, it says, now this is eternal life. What is it? What is the mystery of the ages? What is the pursuit of all time? What is it? John 17:3, it says that they know you, that they are intimately acquainted with you. They know you, the only true God in Jesus Christ. So you're sitting in that seat like, how do I make all this line up for me? Why am I here? God says, you found the reason for life. The whole purpose why you get to breathe, why you walk around on planet Earth, you found him. His name is Jesus Christ. Now you either believe that and it is transforming your everyday life, or it's just surface knowledge. But God has more for you. God has so much more for you. Colossians 1:16, check this scripture out. This is awesome. Straight out of God's word. For in him all things were created. That's pretty cool. In who? In who? Say aloud. In God, in Jesus, right? That's who it's talking about. It says, in Jesus. Things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. There's an invisible realm right now. Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. Why are you here? Because he wanted you to be here. Why do you still breathe, youth? Because he wants you to breathe. Why is this crazy preacher from Colorado jumping on a plane coming down here? Because maybe I got something to say that God wants you to hear. Why? Because you were created by him and for him. And eternal life is to know him. So the best message I can preach to you tonight is, do you know him? Many talk about knowing about God, but very few know God. And as a matter of fact, when you read scripture, it doesn't even say, do you know God? As a matter of fact, it says on the day of judgment, he might say to some people, I never knew you. Oof. But do you know him? Do you know him? Let me give you a challenge. And don't be religious on me, okay? I'm going to hop around here. I'm going to hop around. The frequency of God's voice. I told you I'd talk about my... Sorry, if you're... you guys are awesome back there working the sound. I'm totally jumping around, okay? Do you know him? The frequency of God's voice. I told you I'd talk about my first car. Everyone say duct tape. Duct tape. Yeah. Now, who's got a car with some duct tape on it? Come on. Anybody got an old car? What you got?
An old Ford Explorer.
What year?
It's 20 plus years old.
That's awesome. I got you beat. Old car. Come on. Who's got an old car? Don't be bashful. I'm not going to bite you. What you got? Oh, see, now I started pointing you out, and you're like, I don't want to tell nobody about my old car. Okay, I had a 1979 Plymouth Valari. Anybody? Anybody? Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. Listen, any car is better than walking, okay? Just saying that. In the middle of Florida, I got two W40 air conditioning, two windows down, 40 miles an hour, okay? In the midst of summer. Okay, y'all live in Texas, so you know a little bit about this.
True that.
True that. No, yeah. Okay. You can't say true that to that statement if you're walking, okay? Because you really don't know. Okay. So I got this car. I got this Plymouth Valari, man. We called it the Spirit Mobile. I was talking about, yeah, because it ran on the Holy Ghost. That's all it ran on. I don't know. Listen, I know that thing leaked oil, so I just kept adding. I didn't know about maintaining no car. I just kept putting oil in there. You know what? That thing kept going. Your car will keep going if you're bringing people to Jesus in that car too, okay? And that thing overheated on the side of the road. Man, I had so many miracles from God with that car. I'd be stuck in the middle of nowhere. I'm talking about in the middle of nowhere. And my car decides, hey, now's the time that cheap fuel pump doesn't want to actually suck any gas into the engine. So I'm just going to die right here and hang out for a while. And that's what it would do. It would just chill there. And I'm like, no, I got places to go. And then God would send some dude, like, I know that guy probably never drives that road. Ever. Never. But he did. Because I'm like praying, God, I'm stuck here. I would like to go somewhere. Okay? So please send it. And the guy would come, and I don't even know what he did, but I had this car, 1979 Plymouth Valari. It was green. It did have duct tape, okay? And no joke, I had dirt in the back of the car. You know, people, you know, you walk out in the thing, and dirt would pile up in the back of my car over time. And no joke, okay? Because you get dirt, you got a hole in your roof, and you get a little sunlight in there, and guess what? You got a greenhouse. I had a straight-up greenhouse in my car, folks. I also had a zoo. Spiders. Ants. Ant farm. So they decided they wanted to make their home at the base of this plant tree, shrubbery thing that decided it wanted to grow inside my car by the baseboard. I kind of liked it, though. You know, it got to be the running joke in the school. Joshua had the lamest car that anybody could ever possibly have. But you know what? I'm preaching about it right now. Okay, so it was pretty cool. This car was so old, man. It had, this probably wasn't even factory. It was just like this old, tape deck, you know, with the two knobs, you know. Do we even know what that is? It's all analog and digital and all that, right? You guys don't even do that. You just hook up auxiliary into your iPod and push the shuffle button, right? But this thing had the two little knobs. We're talking about knowing God, right? So what I would do with this, these knobs, you know, when I first had, and it was the kind of frequency that, I don't know, you know, you don't change the knob, but the station goes out. You're like, how does that happen? I didn't move the knob, and somehow I can't hear the radio. I heard it 5 minutes ago, and now I can't. It was just an old, junky car, but it ran. Okay? So I'm tuning this knob constantly. I mean, if you would have saw me, I had one. I was riding low, not because I was trying to be cool. I was trying to change the knob on my... Okay? Yeah. I'm like, shh. Jennifer's like, where's the spiritual application at this point? I'm not getting it. What are you trying to really do when you adjust the knob on your... You're tuning it in, right? But what are you, you're tuning in, but what are you also doing? You're tuning out. So you're cutting through all of the fuzz. Knowing. God's speaking right now. Can you hear him? Can you hear him? Can you hear him? How many know that Jesus said in the Bible? He said... John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. When was the last time you heard Jesus' voice? He's beautiful. He's awesome. He's glorious. Listen, if you're here tonight and you haven't heard Jesus' voice, well, we could change that. God is not willing that you shouldn't hear his voice. But here's the problem. You're like, how do I hear God's voice? I mean, if he's talking, he's God, he should just, like, talk louder. God's talking as loud as he needs to, okay? He's straight up talking as loud as he needs to. Here's what you do. See, the Word of God is that tuner. It's a tuner. That's how it works. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. How many have heard that scripture? Thousands of times, right? It's like, It's like candy, man. You guys know that. You've been eating that scripture since birth. You think I'm lying. Noah eats dum-dums now. He got his first taste of dum-dums. That little sugar, he's got a sugar high. True that? How many you know, you still getting sugar highs? Nope. Yeah. No. Sugar rush? Okay. You're like, I've moved on past sugar. I'm now doing other things. Caffeine. That doesn't even work anymore. So I've had to go to Starbucks, which is a whole nother level of drug addiction for Christians. It's not good. Seriously, when you're getting the shakes, you've had too much, okay? When you're getting the shakes, you've had too much. I don't even remember where I was going. You guys, I'm telling you.
Tuning.
It's a tuner. Yeah, I knew that part. There was another sub point. See? Dum-dums. Okay, sugar. Okay, that wasn't the point. All right. So the Word of God is a tuner, okay? But there's so much noise in your generation. Noise! There's so many frequencies, man. You go on the AM dial. You guys don't even know what AM is. Okay, you go on the AM dial, and you're like, you go through there, and there's like, you know, most of them are like preachers, man. You never even heard of them, but they're like preaching the gospel. And there's all of these different channels out there, okay? And you got to tune each one in. There's many voices in your ear right now. Your teachers, your mom, your dad, the devil, yourself, the world. Hopefully not that nasty channel, MTV. I can't stand that channel. Okay? Hopefully there's not so many influences in your life that you can't hear God's voice. But if there is, read the Word. Because when you read the Word, you tune straight into God's channel, baby. Yeah. True that? You tune straight into God's voice. This is what it sounds like, okay? Because some of you are like, I can't hear God. I can't hear God. Where is God? God's nowhere to be found. When you read the Word, it tunes your ear. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the Word of God. So you want to hear God, you have to listen to His voice in His Word. It tunes your ear, okay? It tunes your ear. It cuts away. It divides all the stuff, light and darkness, truth and lie. It divides straight to the core of who God is. And so you're sitting there tuning the dial as you're reading the Word, figuratively, at home, okay? And it's like all you've been hearing is that's not true. That's that old dial-up. You guys know nothing about that. All right. Okay. So it's just static, right? It's just static. I hope you don't have to know about dial-up. It's slow, okay? So it's just, and you're reading the words, and then you hear, this is the word, rock you, yeah. This is what I have, right? You tune in God's voice. This is the way, walk you in it, right? This is my plan, follow this guy. Do this, don't do that. When you read the Word of God, it awakens you to God's voice. Listen, when you hear God's voice, it changes you on the inside. Because I read in my Bible, and you can read in your Bible too, that in the beginning God spoke and created. If you just got spit, you're anointed. When I read His Word, life. How desperate are you to read His Word? How desperate are you to hear His voice? How desperate are you? Listen, when you understand that connected to God is purpose for you, what you were created for, why you're still here, why you're breathing, why you go to the school you go to, why, when even when you don't understand your parents, why God gave you those parents. Come on, somebody. Okay, yeah, I'll take that too. Why? You begin to put two and two together, you begin to understand God has a plan. He has a purpose. I liken that to a stonemason. Okay? Let me give you a scripture. It's Ephesians 2:10. Woo! This is good stuff. This is good stuff. For we are God's masterpiece. Everyone say masterpiece. Masterpiece. I love it. Paul could have used any other word, but he said, no, it's fitting. See, sometimes you feel like, I ain't no masterpiece. I'm just plain Jane, status quo. I'm just like everybody else. But the Bible says that you're a masterpiece. When you're created anew in Jesus Christ. But now, why did he create us? This scripture says, so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. When you wake up in the morning, are you like so pumped? You're like, I want to do more good things for Jesus. What I did yesterday, that was cool. That was good. That was awesome, Jesus. But guess what? I got to do more now. I got good things that God has already planned. Do you know that when you wake up, Elisha, that God already got stuff for you to do? He already has mapped it out. See, that changes the way you wake up, because instead of just waking up, some of y'all don't even put deodorant on, okay? And you wake up and you put your pants on and your shirt on and you get out in your car and you're like, or you riding the bus or you walking, or some of y'all are homeschooled. Man, I fear we are creating a generation of slackers. Okay. All right. I fear. But we are, and you roll out of bed and you don't know why. And you don't know what for. God is your purpose and God is the revealer of your purpose. The Bible says he already made you a masterpiece so that you could do the good things he has already planned for you to do, Justin. But when you look at a rock, let's say a masterpiece, sculptor, anybody deal with rocks? Anybody dumb as a box of rocks? Nobody. Okay. I've been dumb as a box of rocks before. No, don't raise your hand. That's... Okay. A master sculptor will take a rock, okay? Now, if I was a master sculptor, I'd just be like... Yeah. Have you ever seen that art? You know, the art that doesn't make any sense? You're like, they make fun of it now, you know, black or white. And it's like black and white art, and it's just too blah. Anyway, it's not really art at all. There's nothing art about it. Okay? And like somebody like grabs a bunch of paint and they just throw it up on a canvas somewhere like, woo! That took skill. No, it didn't. You're lying to everybody and yourself, okay? But when God said masterpiece, what he's saying is you're like a raw material. You're like a beautiful diamond in rough shape. You know what makes a diamond really expensive? It's how it's cut. If it's just a rock in the ground, it has all the potential in the world. But it takes a good, whatever you call it, to take that rock and to shave off all the other stuff that is not beautiful. Okay? You have all the potential in the world. 1440, every minute of every day. All the potential in the world is yours. You are creating the image and likeness of God. He filled you with his spirit. He gave you his word. He gave you his promise. He gave you a hope. He gave you his strength. He gave you his blood. He gave you his forgiveness. All the potential in the world is yours in God.
True that.
True that. Right.
All of it. And when you wake up in the morning, some of you feel like, I got nothing. I got no hope. I got no future. What am I here for? Why am I doing what I'm doing every minute of every day? And God's here to tell you, I see the masterpiece that is within you right now. And even now, some of the things that are happening in your life that you can't explain, you don't understand why, God is the master chiseling away all the rough exterior in your life, so that what is left is him. That what is left is that diamond. You know, what makes a diamond cool? If you put a diamond in a dark room with no lights, Who cares? Yeah. Right? What makes a diamond cool is that it reflects all the light. So what God is really after, 1440, is that you would be cut in such a way that you can reflect the light and be the light of the world. In a dark world, you can now be the light of the world. You can shine on your friends and your family. How much time I got? I'm just preaching. I don't even know. That's not a figurative question. Like, you're like doing the math. Okay, 8:30, 8:45? Oh, got it. Okay, see, I haven't even been watching it. I glance up, and I'm like, man, it just keeps getting... anyway. Let me give you a scripture on that. You're made for the kingdom of God, young people. Jeremiah 29:11. Everybody know this. What is that? That's like your life verse, ain't it? It's like your life verse. For I know what I have planned for you. This is what Jesus says to you. This isn't just me reading. This is what God is saying to you. You want to know what God's voice sounds like? It's his word. God says, for I know what I have planned for you, says the Lord. I have plans to prosper you. That's why we say that. Was that loud? Hopefully. Not to harm you. I have plans to give you a future filled with hope. Hope. That's the difference between the Christian. That's the difference between you and a lot of kids at your school. When you walk down the halls every day, you walk down there, I got hope, and people should be able to see it. They want it because they're dying inside without of it. But you got it. You got it. Or do you? Or do you? Do you have hope so real it's on your face when you walk down the aisle or the classroom? When you walk down the aisle, hopefully. When you walk down your hallways at school, or when you're at home and you're doing your homeschool, and your mom and dad ask you to do a list of chores, can they tell that you've got Jesus living inside of you? You got hope? I'm hopeless. No, you're not hopeless. You're not hopeless. You've got hope. It's a tangible thing, youth. It's a tangible thing that people can see. Has anybody ever come up to you and say, what do you have that I don't? That's never happened to you? You know, that happened to Jesus an awful lot. That's why thousands of people followed him, because he had something they did not. And he's given you that same thing. He's given you that same thing. See, if you only knew, intimately acquainted with, fully understanding, completely grasping what God had planned for you, you would change the way you live every day. It would be the foundation. It would wake you up in the morning, man. It would wake you up. Do you know your value? Matthew 16:26. This is good stuff. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? What good will it be? Matthew. What's up? You got a book in the Bible. Just want to let you know. You probably read it already. What good will it be for a man to gain the whole... Or a woman. You do know that... Anyway. What good would it be for you to gain the whole world and lose your soul? What's your worth? What's your worth? You could gain the whole world and lose your soul, and that would be a bad decision. The whole world. Every bit of it. Anybody watch Discovery Channel? I watched Discovery Channel the other day, and they had this show on there. And they were like, this is how much planet Earth is worth. Really? What currency? Just in U.S. dollars. Really? So it's worth a lot more in the euro, because our value... Yeah, okay. And they figured out how much the earth was worth. They I don't know how they did it. Wood, all the natural resource, all the gold, all the platinum, all the diamonds, everything. All the stuff that man calls worth something, and God says it ain't worth much. Yeah. How do I know that? Because the stuff we call gold is the stuff God uses to pave his streets in gold. And we're like wearing around our neck, woo, look at this. And God's like, that's asphalt in my kingdom. Okay? All right, I'm going somewhere. Track with me, picking up what I'm putting down. True that?
True that.
All right, so
The stuff that God has made this earth, the Bible says you could gain it all. And if you lost your soul because you didn't give it to Jesus and entrust it to Jesus, that would be the worst decision you could have ever made. What is your worth? What is your value? You know, I can tell a lot about what you think about yourself by what you project to other people. That's a true statement. What are you projecting to other people? I'm so cool. I'm so awesome. I'm nobody. Nobody likes me. Nobody cares about me. I'm not smart. That's why I don't stand up. I'm not bold, so I don't take a stand for truth or righteousness in my school. How do you view yourself? Do you know that you are bought with a price? And it can never be paid again. It doesn't need to, because it was paid once, and that was plenty. You could gain the whole world. Imagine that every bit. You could be the number one. I'm the greatest, Muhammad Ali said. And then somebody else came right after him who was way better. He was pretty good, though. I'm just going to give him that. He wasn't the greatest, though. You could gain the whole world, lose your soul. So what are you worth? So you have to answer that question for you. Now, I hope that you listen to what we're saying tonight and you understand that what you are worth is far more than what you may understand tonight. You cannot give anything in exchange for your soul. And, you know, we say this in Christian circles. Jesus would have died for just one of us. That's awesome. And you know what? I think that is a true statement. Of course, his blood is good enough for a lot of us. It's for all of us. Do you know, youth, that you will change the world? Worship team, come on back up here. Yeah, it's about that time. Worship team, come on back up here. Do you know you'll change the world? Do you know you'll change the world? How do I know that? Anybody know? How do you? Let me say, I'm the preacher. Okay, so I clearly know. I just want to know if you already know. Okay, anybody got a scripture? See, you'll notice that every single one of these points has a scripture backing it up. And a lot of times I give you two, okay? Because I just like, if I'm going to teach it or preach it, I like there to be like a slew of scriptures, okay? Because the Bible is awesome. How do you know? How do you know? How do you know you're going to change the world? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Okay, that's good. It's like everybody knows that scripture. That's good. John 14:12. This is how I know you're going to change the world. If you're a Christian, you've been given power. Everyone say, power! You didn't say it that way. Everyone say, power!
Power!
I'm not feeling it yet. Power!
Power!
Okay. John 14:12. I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes in me will do the same works. No, that wasn't written in your Bible. Yes, it was written in your Bible. Jesus said it. Anyone who believes in him will do the same works he did. Does that just take like the cork of your Christianity and just go boing? I have a youth back at our church. He says, man, that blew my mind right in front of my face. And no, he has not done drugs, okay? Now, if you think that statement is true, this next one is pretty awesome. He says, even greater works than I have done. Who are we talking about here? Who's saying this?
Jesus.
Now, y'all know he raised people from the dead.
Yeah.
Now, y'all know he's awesome. Go ahead, guys. You can start playing whenever you're ready. He raised people from the dead, y'all. See, this tells me something about Jesus Christ that's awesome. You're afraid of getting to know Jesus. You're afraid of surrendering to more of God. This is not like anyone else that you've ever met. Because this is what's awesome about Jesus. He's got no ego.
God's not up in heaven like, oh yeah, scratch my back a little bit more, angels. I need to worship me some more. Yeah, stroke my ego. I feel better about it. You know, God is who he is. And this scripture proves it. Because if he wasn't like who he actually is, he'd have been like, okay, I'm God. Let's settle that. This is my miracles. You can come to about right here. But guys, he said greater things than he even did, you can do as well. That's either a true statement or it's a lie. That's either true or it's a lie. That's either a true statement that if you're a Christian and you've met with Jesus Christ and you know that he is alive, then you could go into your school. You could go into your home. You can get on your knees when no one is looking and you can pray. And the same power that Jesus had is yours. Does that get you excited? Does that stir you up? Does that motivate you? How many are motivated here? How many are excited about Jesus?
Yes.
How many are rocked by the rock of ages by that statement? You can have power. Power. See, it's not just for forgiveness. Forgiveness is the avenue by which we take hold of what has been purchased. Forgiveness is just the door, 1440, to a new life of power, of freedom. 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 But if you haven't been intimately acquainted with Jesus Christ, then all this stuff sounds like good news, but it hasn't yet become your reality. And so what we have to do is step away from religion and step into relationship. You have to go from knowing about God to knowing God and God knowing you. And the only way that you can know that this transaction has actually happened is if you stop trying to be something you're not and surrender. Surrender. You want to be used by God? You want to change your school? You want to change your world? You have all the power and authority to do it. You want to finally figure out who you are, why you're here, what you're made for? Surrender. There could be no life of God flowing through you without you first exchanging the life you're trying to hold on to. You have to exchange it. Jesus said it this way, whoever does not pick up his cross and die, cross is an instrument of death, and follow me cannot be my disciple. So the door is standing in front of you tonight. The door has always stood in front of you, and it will always stand in front of you. If you want more of God, you choose. You choose. You choose to stop waiting for somebody else. You choose to stop waiting for your youth pastor. You choose to stop waiting for the church. You choose to stop waiting for anybody else, and you get so passionate and hungry for you to meet with God and to go headlong into this thing. No longer waiting. I'm not waiting. How many believe this? Come on. Okay, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? We got a worship team here. They're just going to stand there the rest of the night, huh? Listen, we're going to give you an opportunity to go after Jesus. Like there's power, like there's freedom, like when you meet with Jesus, he transforms you. If you believe.